Hello, Rock Life Podcast family. We are so grateful that you are here today. As you can see, if you're watching, we have a new set.
Wow.
It's I like it.
I do too.
It's like you mentioned, Pastor Dan, it is full circle.
Full circle, because we started with kind of this same setup in one of the offices, and now we've got a room that we're utilizing as a podcast room. And so there's some new updates and upgrades and all that good stuff. And so visually, hopefully for our people that are watching, it's visually more aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
The only thing I will apologize in advance is because with the table, I felt like it.
You had something.
I can get fidgety.
Are you going to mess
so
with
now,
the mic?
Either this microphone.
You're Mr. Like, trying to play like I'm you, and now I'm already messing with the mic.
Yeah, see, like it. I don't think it affects the sound, but.
Oh, it does.
Anyways, Ian's like, yes. But we're excited for this. I mean, we are getting more and more official every time.
I got to mention the fit, too, for the visual. I mean, you're rocking the cowboy stuff lately. I noticed you had the boots on this weekend, and you got some suede boots on today.
Thank you, Pastor Dan, my first pair of Tecovis, even though they didn't sponsor this video. Tecovis, if you want to sponsor. Just kidding. But these are, I got these actually last Father's Day, and I got some new ones. I don't know, I'm feeling like, some of it is kind of trendy, but also, like, hang on to is like, oh wait, I grew up with my uncles dressed like this, right? Like, so there is some sense of like, hey, like it's trendy now, but
are you
I
at
remember
that uncle age? Is that what's I'm really
the
going
unk,
on?
Right, like yeah, I do like my I have a couple of the pants, and when we used to go, so my family's from northern Mexico, and so in Mexico they call them norteños, which is probably like the equivalent of like cowboy area in our in our country, right? So
caballeros,
norteños is kind of like northern Mexico is southern U.S.
right,
and so that's kind of the region, and so it's regional clothing.
Gotcha. So you're going back to your roots.
So it's kind of like and so
very good.
And they're actually not as uncomfortable as they might look. A boot, you would think, like, that's not very comfortable.
I would imagine suede gives a little bit more than some of the stiff leather, but they look nice, and if they feel nice, that's, I mean, for men.
Thank you.
Obviously, men are, like, comfort. It's, well, if, and, if you're not
and
comfortable,
I think,
they're coming off.
Part of being in the unk age is you want to be comfort, but sometimes you got to dress how you feel, and if I feel good, I want to look good.
You feel like a norteño.
Yeah, you know, so I want to, anyways, very cool. Thanks, Pastor Dan, for a shout-out.
Yeah, man.
You, as your fit game has been top notch lately.
Has it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You have a personal stylist, though. No, I'm teasing.
You know what's funny is when we became the senior pastors, there were some ladies that came to Pastor Jessica, and they said, "Who does your clothes?"
Interesting.
Yeah, and she was like, "Me."
Yeah.
And they said, "Wow." So I thought that was a great compliment.
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe. People do have stylists or
some might. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that world, but we were kind of, I mean, I grew up in Moreno Valley, so if that says anything, I don't know. Don't be offended.
I wear it with pride. Yeah, we do what we feel, right? Yeah. I'm an IE guy.
Yep.
Born in Minnesota, but I'm basically a Californian.
Born in Minnesota. Yeah. Okay. I knew there was Washington State up there. But
so I have my family, like the origin is mainly Washington. But then my mom and dad by themselves moved to Minnesota. My dad went to law school out there.
Mm.
And so I was born there, and then we came to California.
You and Adam Ewart. Wow, our CFO. That's great.
Yeah, we always have that Minnesota thing going
Minnesota.
On. I don't have the accent like, you know, he might. There are some words that he says that you can...
You can hear it, yeah. He'll be walking really through the halls, and if he like almost bumps into you around a corner or something, he'll go, oof.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, wow, that is so Minnesota.
Yeah, the oofta.
Oof.
Anyway,
they do a oof.
My parent used to say oofta.
Oofta.
I thought it was a Mexican thing, but I'm like, and then I come to find out it was a
northern.
It was a Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota regional specific.
So very, very cool.
My goodness, that's fun. That's fun. Well, it's interesting, you know, the diversity of our nation, and when you take a look at the regions, even Mexico, when you're talking about the regions and things like that, and just how we can all come together as a nation and be from all different parts. It's funny if you go back in my history.
Yeah.
I often tell people I'm a Heinz 57.
Yeah.
Because I've got every blend. I've been joking lately that I've got every blend of white background there is. Like, I've got eggshell. I've got bone. Got pure. I've got ultra. I've got all of it in there.
Yeah.
So, there's just a ton of stuff. If you, my brother did that DNA testing where they show you on the map.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're white.
Yeah.
All the white. All of it just mixed in.
All the white.
Now, there is one, I'd say two interesting things in there. There is a family secret that died with my grandmother, that there's some sort of native people for the United States.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Which?
Yeah.
My dad thinks Cherokee just because of the region that they were in, but who knows?
Yeah.
And that, like I said, that secret died with my grandmother. It was a shameful thing back in the day.
Yeah.
That if you were with another race or culture, there was shame associated with that. So they buried that secret. So that may be where I got some of the dark features from.
Right.
That, and if you've ever heard of what they call the Black Irish, they've got the dark features, dark hair, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like the red and green eyes and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people think that's Irish. It's really not.
Right.
But there is that. And then the other one is Basque.
Okay.
Which is in Spain. Yeah. It's kind of in the middle of Spain and France with some Northern African in there.
Yeah.
So who knows
what's
really going on? And my wife thinks I'm Jewish.
Really diverse. Well, I mean, because is it from the Roth, the German? And
German, yeah.
Yeah.
But Roth means red in German. And there's a city, Rotenburg, which is R-O-T-H.
Okay, yeah.
And so,
The diaspora found the Jews all over the place.
Could be. You never know. There could be some Jewish heritage in there. We all came from Adam and Eve, and we all came
from
Noah and his wife, so we're all brothers and sisters somehow.
You know, you talked about our nation, and you know, we're getting ready to celebrate, and I know sometimes it feels kind of weird because, you know, we're in the middle of the World Cup, and people have no problem cheering for their nations. Last night, I was pumped, you know, depending on when you're watching this, but Mexico won their round of 32 game.
Wow.
And it was such a fun watch. I cheer for Mexico. I also cheer for the U.S. soccer team. And so I'm pumped, again, depending on when you're watching. But tonight we'll play the round of 32 game. And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But people have no problem, you know, cheering for a country that they either have ties to ethnically or just enjoy watching. Like I enjoy watching Brazilian football, soccer.
Football.
But, you know, for some reason, as Americans, there's some kind of like, you almost have to walk on eggshells and being in celebrating our nation, which kind of probably has different lot reasons depending on whom you're talking to.
Yeah.
But for the topic of our conversation today, we do want to celebrate as believers. You know, the Bible calls us to celebrate things. And I, you know, hey, as a Mexican, we never miss a chance for missing for a party, right?
That. Yeah. I've been told I'm a Mexican. Yeah, at heart. I'm a Mexican.
There's
in
always,
that sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
there's
let's
always
do it. Let's party.
Something to celebrate or a reason to party or have a good time and recollect or whatever.
Yeah.
But talk to us, Pastor Dan, about just maybe, you know, happy birthday to the U.S.
And, yeah, gosh.
You know, we live in the United States and we're grateful for our country. We pray for our nation. But why are some of these things important, either scripturally and then how might one navigate some of these feelings? Because, again, even in our own congregation, there's without a doubt mixed feelings about some of these things. And
yeah.
So I don't know. What are some thoughts there?
You know, personally, before we get into the scriptural support of this, because I could go off that all day long.
Yeah.
And there's strong scriptural support. And even when you take a look at the greater plan of God on the earth for this age and this time that we're living in, I believe that God has some tremendous things for the United States, both in our past and in our future.
Yeah.
To see what God is doing and how He's used this land and how I believe He wants to use this land and continue to in the future. But personally, let me just give a perspective that maybe you as our viewers have, maybe you don't have this, maybe you immigrated, which I think is wonderful as well, because that's one of the great things about this place is that growing up here, I grew up a California boy, like you said, i.e., that sort of a thing. We're just here.
Yeah.
I grew up not really knowing too much, not really being very well-traveled. It took me a long time to go and see snow, even though it was right there on the mountains.
Yeah.
And we loved the beach. We did that a lot. And so, little things here and there. And as I became a teenager and got saved, I started to branch out. One of the first places I went to was Mexico. And I did see the way that people were living, and not the whole nation.
Right.
People need to understand, I'm not bashing Mexico.
Yeah.
Understand this. But there are places, and just like you can go to places in the United States where people are in poverty, that sort of a thing. But when you talk about developing nations, third world, when you talk about extreme poverty, I don't think the poorest of the poor in the United States would want to live in some of the conditions that we see in other nations.
Yes.
I literally was exposed to a dump that there was fire and smoke billowing out of the ground because of the chemical reactions of the trash that were being put into this landfill.
Yeah.
And people were living in that. That was their home.
Yeah.
They were scavenging in those environments to find sustenance and food.
Yeah.
that rocked me. That changed my perspective. I don't have to live like that. Mm-hmm. Even though we weren't the richest people on the planet, we didn't have some of the things that other people had growing up. I had a roof over my head. I had food on the table. I had two parents in the home that loved me. And that's more than most of the world. That's more than a lot of the United States in some ways.
Yeah.
But at the same time, looking at people living in a garbage dump and seeing that extreme poverty. As I became a Christian and as I gave my heart to the Lord, and my older brother had traveled with missions. He had done some stuff in the United States, but he had also traveled to Europe. And he went with an organization. And so I just thought, okay, this is what Christians do. It's kind of like tithing, you know. I never had to be taught how to tithe. It was just this is what we do. And so when I got my first paycheck, I started, and that's been my practice ever since. And I see it from the Word. I teach it now, and that sort of a thing. Same thing with missions. I didn't know anything else. I just saw my brother going, so I thought, okay, I'm going. And so I signed up, and I did a missions tour. That I was gone for 3 months. We did a training camp for a couple of weeks, and then we flew over. England, Scotland, back, and then we crossed the channel, France, Belgium, Germany, down Switzerland, and I mean, just all over, Czech Republic, all over, Italy, back up, around, and out. And so that exposed me in a big way to a worldview. And these nations, I always thought, man, look at these cities, at Paris.
Yeah.
Beautiful city, massive, things that I'd never seen, history, the Eiffel Tower's there, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to places like the Museum d'Orsay and seeing these works of art, all that. Go to Rome, here's things thousands of years old, blowing my mind. And just, wow, look at the Colosseum, look at what they did. This is thousands of years old, and it expanded my heart. The next year, I was selected for a leadership team, and I got the privilege of going to Israel. And I was there for, I want to say, it was quite a while. I want to say 19 days or something like that. But we spent quite a while there. And it was amazing. And again, my heart expanded. My worldview expanded. I was exposed not just to history, which, I mean, you've got thousands of years old. Now you've got like, hey, this is where Abraham walked. And it's like, whoa, this is crazy. And so, my heart. But then I think in a greater way, I was confronted with world religions. With not just Christianity and atheism, which that was a big thing in Europe, big thing in the United States. And I'd grown up with different world religions around and had done some debate and things like that. But this was going deeper into now you've got major history, major world movements and things like, I mean, you think about how many people took over Jerusalem over the centuries. And it expanded my worldview again. Now, we're going to get back to the United States in a minute here, but... just thinking about all of those things and what God was doing on the earth and seeing what was taking place. Now coming home, now growing up, and again, I continue to travel with missions, and I did 2 years that I did border-to-border, coast-to-coast, across the United States, and up into Canada a little bit, down into Mexico a little bit, but I got to see this land that we live in. And I'll tell you a couple of things. Number one is that California is the most beautiful place on the planet. There are beautiful places on the planet. But when I take a look at the rich, vast resources, the national parks, the beaches, the opportunities that are here, I choose to live here. And I know I'm called here. And I love this land. And this is a place that I absolutely love. I love the people. I love... I love California. I'm through and through a California boy. But I also love this land, the United States. And I remember the first time I went to Washington, D.C. And I looked around and I thought, oh my goodness, we have this here. Because remember, I'd seen Rome, I'd seen London, I'd seen Paris, I'd seen all these different world-class cities. And I'd seen, you know, the castles of Scotland and all this kind of, and all this history. When I went to Washington, D.C., I almost stood up a little straighter and thought, this is us. Look at this place. You know, it was a world-class city, and I had almost put our city down because there's this misnomer in the United States that everywhere else is better than here. Not true. Not true. Travel the world. Get outside of here. Are there great places? Yes. Are there wonderful nations? Absolutely. There's places that I would love to go and spend a lot of time. There's great things about those places. They have opportunities. They have things for their citizens and even things for not their citizens that are wonderful. But when you stack up everything together and you start to take a look at what we have available to us in this land,
yeah.
in this place, I believe that this is the greatest nation on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm a little biased, of course.
Yeah.
And so for our international viewers, I apologize if that hurts your heart, but I love my land. I love my nation. Yeah. I'm very pleased.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that God chose me to be in this place at this time, it's a great place. It's a great, great thing. Now, that said, I have traveled to places like the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Deborah will tell you, she went to the dump heaps, the trash heaps, mm-hmm. and saw people living there.
Yeah.
Pastor Jim used to tell a story about a boy, and in fact, it's in our discipleship materials, mm-hmm. and he was cast off in another nation by his family. I don't know which nation.
Yeah.
But they left him in the trash, a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That baby survived by whatever he could grab and he put in his mouth. Eventually, people found him. Some missionaries adopted him and raised him as their own. He mm-hmm. had physical and mental challenges because of the lack of nutrition and that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
But again, you see that there are people who have a heart to care for others, and I believe that this land was raised up by God for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the biblical account, okay?
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells us that God is the one who establishes borders and boundaries, that he uproots, he tears down, he plants and he builds. That was in Jeremiah. He talks about that. And there were nations that especially the prophets would speak to. There were nations that were great nations. I mean, you take a look at some of the former nations. Like, where's Babylon? Where's the great city?
Yeah.
Where are the Hanging Gardens today?
Mm-hmm.
They're under a whole lot of sand and there's excavations mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah.
You take a look at even the places that Jesus cursed.
Mm-hmm.
There are cities that you can go to that they were thriving in his time, and then he curses them. Places like Capernaum, it's an archaeological site. There's no one living there and having a great life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could.
Right.
But it's basically a historical place that you can go and look at. And he said, woe to you, because if the miracles that were done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done in you, they would have repented with sackcloth and ashes. So we can see that there are certain things that have times and seasons. God raises things up, and he also tears things down. He has his purposes. Mm-hmm. That's where when you take a look, it's important to study world history because you get to see the movement of people. So you get to see the movement of nations. You get to see what was going on. And then with the United States, we have a newer history.
Yeah.
But at the same time with that, you can see the expansion of things and you can see how those things open the door for the, I believe personally, for the bigger purposes of the gospel to mm-hmm. spread.
Yeah.
In this land, the innovation, in this land, the communication, things like the telephone were created here. Right. You take a look at the airplane was created here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Apostle Paul had an airplane and a telephone, oh my gosh, what would he have done?
Yeah, yeah.
But then you start to take a look at present day advances, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Even the implications of things like AI, if we can develop and guide that with wisdom and with a heart,
that's good.
Rather than for deception, which people are out there that are going to do that. People probably in the United States, there are people who are wanting to just make a dollar off of simple people or people that they can take advantage of. And so we have to guide that with an actual heart behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I believe that this nation was raised up by God 250 years ago, coming up, and where you're watching before or after.
Yeah.
But I believe that even though we're a young nation, that God has done a lot. This has been the number one missionary sending nation.
Mm-hmm.
England was great at it. England, I mean, you take a look at some of the British missionaries and things like that. You can say what you want about Great Britain and colonialism and all that. I know that people have rewritten history and they've taken a narrative and they've made other people the victims of these colonialists and the imperialists and all this kind of stuff. And they talk about slaughter and they talk about people and how they brought sickness and how they murdered people. Granted, there are those stories across the board. Across the board. So let's not just say one person or another is doing that. That's unfair because if you take a look, and even presently, go to some of these nations that you're saying are so great and go and take a look at the wars that are going on there.
Right.
If you go back into history, but also take a look at presently, there's tremendous turmoil still going on the earth. Let's not bury our heads in the sands because we live in the United States and think that everything's hunky-dory everywhere else and that we're the only ones with problems. And the problem is because of our history and who did what.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
This is a great land with great opportunity.
Yeah.
There's open doors. There's all sorts of goodness going on. And we have the ability to bless the nations. And isn't that what God wants from his holy people?
Right.
Now, again, let's get to the scriptural point. Because we talked a lot about experience.
Yeah.
We've talked about viewpoints, and you can dismiss all that. Now let's talk about the scripture. The Bible states that we are, as believers, to show forth the glory of God, to represent God to man, and to represent man to God. That's why prayer is so important.
Yep.
And the Bible says specifically that we're to pray for our leaders, not to criticize, condemn, and judge. We can have our opinions about those things.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I have my opinions.
Yeah.
From the California leadership
to
the federal government leadership.
Yeah. All right.
It doesn't matter if it's the governor, the president, the mayor, the city controller.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of different people that are going to be doing different things. I'm not going to agree with all of them, but I am to pray for all of them.
Yeah,
and I'm to walk in love with all of them.
Yeah.
And when it comes to our land, if our land can be a light, and this is where I love going back in history, because if you take a look at some of our leadership, not all, but some of our leadership had very big hearts for God. And our founding fathers, if you take a look at some of their godly quotes and things like that, now some of them were deists.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson took all of the miracles out of the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll see him in heaven. Maybe we won't. That's
right.
not my thing to judge.
Right.
If he's believing in the Lord Jesus for salvation, I would think, well, then I'll probably see him in heaven.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't believe in the miracles. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe in a God who would be able to take our sin on the cross if there wasn't some supernatural, miraculous part of that. So who knows? But at the same time, when you take a look at some of these men and women that went before us, oh my goodness, so godly.
Yeah.
So invested. And even I think about Ronald Reagan, who used the terminology that the United States is a city on a hill. And I believe that that's really God's purpose, is that God can raise up a land and prosper and bless a land that has a heart for him.
Yeah.
And again, we could get into stats about, well, are we really a Christian nation?
Yeah,
are we
not?
I, put that aside.
Yeah.
There's a lot of godly people here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about the late Billy Graham.
Yeah.
This guy went all over the world preaching the gospel from the United States.
Yeah.
You think about the different church organizations.
Yeah.
The Assemblies of God, Calvary Chapel. I mean, the Baptists, that I mean, I know they have roots and there's different things, but even the modern day charismatic and Pentecostal movement that started here in the United States, we could go to L.A.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to go very far at all.
William Seymour and the Azusa Street Revival and the things that happened here. Again, England and the United States, the Great Awakenings and those sorts of things, and you've got these guys coming over to the colonies, preaching the gospel, but there was a movement that went across the colonies and revival and things that spread. And again, every season is going to have its challenges.
Yeah.
It's going to have the things that are going on. But we can see how God's hand was on this land.
Yeah.
We can see how God has used this land and raised up this land. I believe, like Ronald Reagan appropriately pointed out from what Jesus said about every believer, that this nation should be a city on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
That in the darkness,
there's
a gleaming light of hope. And I believe, personally, that's why so many people want to immigrate here.
Yeah.
And I don't believe immigration is bad if it's done lawfully.
Right.
I believe that it can be a very good thing. We've seen the unlawful use of immigration, and we've seen tragedies and heartache and things that have come from that. But I know some people that have immigrated here that love this land and love their homeland. Like they'd be rooting for their country with the World Cup, but they love this land. And if the U.S. was playing, they'd be rooting for them.
Yeah.
Now, the conflict would be if they played each other.
Yeah. Well, so I you know, those become debates for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, but there are people with huge German English roots that they'll wear the English soccer jersey, and you know, do you have a U.S. jersey? Like, you know, again, it's a team
sport.
It's a sport. It's a team. Oftentimes, there's connections to stuff. But you're right, and I think, you know, Pastor Dan, you're touching on something that it is of value, because in our present day and age, even amongst Christians, there are some of these big questions. Again, we have social media, we have internet around us, we have a lot of voices that are trying to bring shame. That some of it is a lot of misinformation about what really happened. There's always that, like, what really, and if you really knew the origins. And I by no means am trying to justify anything, but I can't help but wonder, will there be a day and age when we're dead and gone, should the Lord tarry, the things that we have tolerated, that things that we've allowed, are they going to be like, oh my gosh, that, well, they canceled us because of the things that we sat around and did nothing, right? I mean, we've had conversations. I mean, some of the sin that takes place that are grotesque, did we turn too casual an eye, right? I mean, we've talked about this addiction to pornography.
Yeah.
Are they going to know something in 60 or 100 years that, like, anyone who ever watched it should be canceled because of the implication that it did on society?
Yeah.
And here we are living it, and, oh, I was just watching a show that was big in the 90s, and they were so flippant about some of the things that we know would never be able to be written into a show now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because why? Because we understand things. There's different implications. Oh, yeah, we shouldn't joke about some of those things. Now, again, I'm not trying to justify past things that we know are wrong, but we have to understand we too are part of things that are culturally okay.
Yeah.
Things that we laugh at now that probably in 20 years we won't laugh at.
Sure.
And so.
But I think that's called growth.
Right. It is called growth. It is.
And maturing.
We'd like to think that we should be allowed to do that, but we don't want to give that same grace to people that lived 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think, but when we put ourselves in that kind of way, and you mentioned travel also does that.
Absolutely.
Right. We currently have a group in Thailand. When I went to that same group in Thailand, we went up to these remote villages in the mountains, beautiful part. And, you know, they're not concerned about the American elections or any other nation's elections, maybe even some of their own nation's elections, because they're living in such a remote place and part. But sometimes we just think all lights are on us.
Yeah.
I was watching or listening to a conversation that people were having. I think they were either English or Australian or maybe a mix of both. And they were talking about something in the church, and they were making reference to a pastor, and how they were talking about how this pastor who was, I think, Australian, and, you know, he had a little bit of a rough patch, and people abandoned the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And the host, who was, I think, also Aussie or maybe English, they were saying, Americans, because you guys have such a winning culture, you love the winner. And when someone's not winning, you move on. And he brought the reference of to soccer. In England, man, when we pick a soccer team, we stay with them. You know, when we're with them because our grandparents cheered for them. So we, whether they're winning or losing, we stay with them. Whereas, you know, again, we probably coined bandwagon fans because it's, fair weather fans, because we like a winner. And as soon as you're not winning, we go on to
the
next.
What's the old saying? Everybody loves a star when he's on the top. They start to run when he starts to drop.
Well, and I had never thought about that as an American thing, just because it's so ingrained into us. But maybe there are people who, because they were talking about how, no, we stayed with that pastor. We came alongside them. And it's like, oh, does our cultural way of just picking the winner, We're done with you when we can't use you anymore.
It's interesting because I was taking a tour, and we were at a historic site, and they kept saying this phrase that stuck with me. They said, "History's written by the winners," and that's an interesting thought. Very interesting thought when you think about the implications of that. In other words, if the winners are writing the history, then we could be missing out on certain aspects of that.
Yeah,
I think. Though that I would have an issue with that, because God is the one who writes history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And whatever story we receive or don't receive, wherever we're at in life and that sort of a thing, when we look back over the ages and eternity, when we're with God forever and ever, my hope is that when we're all wrapped up with the marriage supper of the Lamb, that God says, "All right, kids, everybody have a seat.
Yeah.
And let me show you what took place on the earth."
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, we get to see history as God saw it and see what was right, see what was wrong, that sort of a thing. And really, if we want to be on the right side of history, I want to be on the side that believes the best.
Yes.
I want to be on the side that prays. I want to be on the side that has faith and is faithful. I want to be on the side that is blessing and giving and generous.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I want to be a part of. And I think a lot of times people are looking to leadership, they're looking to the winners to make a change, when really they can make the change.
Yes.
But we're not hopeless. Mm-hmm. Our prayers are powerful and effective.
Yeah.
Our lives speak.
Yeah.
Our lives can change things.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness and love and generosity, these are the powerful things in the kingdom of God that if we operate in, then we can change a land. Can a nation be changed? Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that God wants the United States to be saved.
Yeah.
We have problems. We have challenges. We have things that are going on. Absolutely. But it's a great place with great opportunity. Nobody's shoving a gun in our face.
Yeah.
We were just with some Chinese missionaries talking about that people from 0 to 18 cannot step foot in a church lawfully. Tell me that our land is bad.
Yeah, no,
try
we can't
and tell
even,
me after that.
We can't grasp that.
My
because
children,
inside of us, we just go, what? How could?
How could, right?
Because we there's no context for not being able to.
But in this land, my kids from the moment that they could comprehend, and even before that, I had people that were in our nursery that were rocking them and praying over them and speaking the word over them. I was doing that myself, but in church, they were able as a baby till present day. Have been raised up in the faith and have had this rich heritage that because of a land that was open and free and the people that first came here to worship God.
Yes.
And so our children are able to worship God because somebody made a decision and the choice to follow that passion in their heart and to get out from underneath tyranny that would not allow that.
Yeah.
And yes, so there was a revolution. There was all sorts of stuff that was going on. And again, right or wrong.
Yeah.
With that came some wrong things. Slavery was wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. The civil rights movement came out of all of that because it still was wrong. And even today, there are things that we're still correcting, things that we're still working towards.
Right.
However, one of the joys of my heart is that I've had people in our church come to me and say, I've never experienced racism. Mm-hmm. I hear about it from my parents. I hear about it from my grandparents. Personally, I've never felt that way.
Right.
I think Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
is celebrating that. Yeah. I think that the people who worked with those things, and that's the thing that I love about our land, is that there is growth, there is opportunity, there is freedom to express those things and freedom to work those things out, freedom to have conversations like this where, hey, if you're on the podcast and you disagree, that's okay.
Yeah.
We love you, and let's continue to pray
and
be generous and be good and do what God says to do
as
brothers and sisters and watch as God works in and through his church to bring the goodness and the favor and the blessing of God on our land so that we can be that city on a hill that shines the light to all the nations.
Well, and I want to say, Pastor Dan, because I think it's important. You know, we're not ambassadors in the sense our main thing isn't to be ambassador for our nation.
No,
we're not spreading the gospel of the United States. We serve a God. Now we are pointing out we're excited about where we live, just like anyone should be excited about where they live. And that's what I wanted to ask you. We see scripturally where it's good to be happy. We want to see success in our land. So, you know, it's not because I think people struggle with the idea of patriotism or the idea that we would love our land or love our nation. It's not that we're on this thing like we have to be better than anyone else. I'm glad that you think your country is better. And then we get you on the pitch or on the football field or on the basketball court. And man, I was pumped when in the gold medal game, U.S. versus France, and that the basketball game. And but it's not because we really just think we're superior to. It's just this is the nation that we live in, and we want to see our nation do well and thrive.
Absolutely.
And just like anyone watching from anywhere else or that has family origins in another nation, hey, love that, and that's great.
Celebrate.
We want to celebrate, and we are grateful for God blessing our land, and we want to pray that God continue to bless our land. And this is where God placed us and the burdens that we have. Just like in our region, no one has a problem with us praying for our region. Right. And that's where, you know, I'm from Moreno Valley and we rep that. Well, IE and it's not, I'm glad. I think God places. And so we'll have a burden for that. So we have a burden for our nation, like someone in Thailand has a burden for their nation or these missionaries that have gone to China have a burden for China. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I don't think that we should have to feel shame in wanting to see our land thrive. And again, we see that throughout scripture. So
yeah, Jeremiah in the time of exile was told to pray for the place where I'm sending you because in its prosperity, you will prosper.
Yes.
And I think that's where us is, wherever we find ourselves, if you've immigrated to the United States or to another nation and you're watching this, pray for the place where you're at.
Yeah.
Because in the prosperity of your land, you will prosper. Mm-hmm. And God has a purpose for all that.
Yeah.
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther,
Mordecai,
the list goes on.
Right.
Ezra, Nehemiah, all these men and women who were sown into the nations to show the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful thing, Pastor Dan. So we're grateful for our country. We pray that God continues to bless our nation, that we can continue to worship and gather freely. And that's our prayer, and that's what we want to see, that we can continue to send missionaries and that people can go have burdens, not because we think we're superior to anyone, but, man, we're going to take the blessing that we have.
Yes.
Just like, man, I am a citizen of the kingdom first, always.
Absolutely.
And we're going to take that kingdom citizenship and do what God has placed on our hearts. So, man, bless the United States of America. We celebrate 4th of July, fireworks, yeah. Good eats, so good fun. Hangs. And we're grateful, Pastor Dan. Any closing thoughts? I know we're gonna take a service to pray,
yes.
and worship God and be grateful and ask that God continues to bless this land and so we can do those things.
Yeah, I think in conclusion, just a couple of closing thoughts is that you oftentimes will see people in nations, and specifically I think of in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He used his Roman citizenship. Mm-hmm. To further the gospel.
Yeah.
And I did preach a message about this in the book of Acts when we were going through that. And we talked about just being, I think we called it the story of us.
Yeah.
So if you're going back in the archives looking for this. But it really just talked about using our citizenship here in the United States, if we're U.S. citizens, but if whatever citizenship you have, to use that for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, everything that God gave me here on the earth has a purpose. Mm-hmm. And has capacity.
Yeah.
And I think as Americans, as people from the USA, we should use the capacity that we have mm-hmm. in a greater way for the work of God, whether that's here in the States or whether that's abroad. Mm-hmm. And that's a great focus of what I believe God wants for his church on the earth today. And that's where if we can equip people to understand, hey, you're not incapable. God has given you capabilities, capacities. He's given you abilities and things that he's put in your hand for a purpose and for a reason. And so use that. Use your time wisely. Use your talents wisely. Use your treasures wisely. But also use your citizenship and mm-hmm. the things that you can do. Use political voting. Use political pressure. If you can send a letter to your congressman, to your senators, to whoever. Put those things to play for the work of God. Partner that with your prayers and your faith and your good works. And as you do, I believe, just like the Apostle Paul, he was able to use that citizenship to get him out of beatings, get him out of jail, mm-hmm. to appeal to Caesar and to preach the gospel to the head of the state. I mean, you think about that. This guy was overseeing what was considered to be the known world at that time, mm-hmm. even though they knew that there was more. I mean, what a massive empire. And it shot the gospel through that empire to the point where we see, again, God's movements over the ages, right or wrong. And yes, there was wars, there were things that are atrocious, things have been done in Christ's name that should not have been done. But once again, God uses those things, and we ought to use the things that we have in our time and our day to the best of our ability, prayerfully, but also faithfully mm-hmm. with what God has given to us.
Yeah, amen. Awesome. Well, we love you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you have thoughts. Maybe you're even oppositional to something we talked about.
Rebukes.
Hey, guess what? You have the right to ask a question. We're not trying to shove anything down your throat. We're putting before you what we see in Scripture.
Yeah.
And we're just grateful for our land. I hope you're grateful for yours, whatever land you are part of. Man, I as someone who has other ethnic background, man, like I love this country. I love my heritage, and that's a beautiful thing. And what my main heritage is a godly heritage.
That's right.
And I'm grateful for that. So God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon. Take care.